The MCAT Podcast, session number 163. A collaboration between the medical school headquarters and Next Step Test Prep, the MCAT Podcast is here to make sure you have the information you need to succeed on your MCAT test day. We all know that the MCAT is one of the biggest hurdles you'll face as a pre-med, and we're here to give you the motivation and information that you need to know to help get you the score you deserve so you can one day call yourself a physician. Welcome to the MCAT Podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, and as always, I'm joined by Phil. I guess I can't say as always. As usual, lately, I'm joined by Phil from Next Step Test Prep. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, I encourage you to send me a message on Instagram or on Twitter or maybe in our Facebook Hangout group and let me know how you found this podcast to begin with, because we're 163 episodes in and you're just finding us, which is awesome. I hope you can join us for a continued journey through your MCAT prep. Go back, subscribe, listen to all the old episodes. We'll be here for you moving forward. We have another great episode today about self-awareness and how to improve that so you can do better on the MCAT. Phil, back for some more MCAT podcast. We last couple of weeks talk about cars, talking about marathons versus sprints. And when I talk about cars, I'm not talking about like Lamborghinis and Ferraris, but everyone's favorite.
It's a really easy way to finish a marathon, right?
Yes.
Take a Lamborghini.
Everyone's favorite critical analysis and reasoning skills or section. Is it skills or section? Skills.
Skills.
Yeah. This week, kind of going to cars, right? Almost everyone has some weak points in the car section, but obviously weak points in every section. And so when we were talking about cars, if you haven't listened to that episode, I would recommend going back two episodes and listening to that one, because there were some new things that have come up, right? We're 160 or so plus episodes into the MCAT podcast. And there were some new things that we talked about that really haven't been brought up about how to review a test and how to potentially start preparing for the MCAT versus if you have a couple months to study versus not a lot of time to study it with taking notes and everything else. And today I want to dive into finding those weak points, because I think in life in general, I've been repeating this a lot. There's a podcast that I listen to, and the guy on that podcast talks about self-awareness all of the time. And the more I hear him talk about it, the more I talk about it, the more I realize that it's the key to everything, right? If we are not self-aware, especially in this pre-med process, then we are in deep, deep trouble, right? If you think about a surgeon, there's a whole podcast about Christopher Dunch, right? The neurosurgeon in Texas, who was not self-aware about his own faults and failures and whatever, or he was just a sociopath, potentially. And it led to the death of some people and lots of morbidity for other people. The self-awareness in this pre-med path, in being a physician, in being a medical student, in being a human being is so important to being successful in life. And I want to hear your thoughts from everything that you've seen working with students one-on-one with Next Step, working with students as the MCAT course office hours guy. What have you seen students struggle with in terms of being self-aware to identify those weak points? And what are you seeing students who are doing really well at identifying those weak points? How are they doing that?
Yeah, this is a real meta analysis we're going to do here, you know, like talking about of an exam. Yep. I think you hit on this, like self-awareness is so important. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I definitely have some faults, but I am a little bit strange in that I almost kind of crave like a little bit of discomfort, because that's when I feel like I'm growing.
Yep.
Right. When I feel like I'm in an area that this is not my strong suit. And that's when you learn the most. And we're in a society in general, where people don't like to say that they were wrong or say that they didn't know something. Or you don't even want to think about it, right? You tend to just kind of put your fingers in your ears and go focus on something that I'm good at, right?
Yep.
And just kind of not pay attention to those other things. And this, you know, this, you know, maybe goes subconscious and carries over. Maybe not. But it's really important to understand, you know, where you're going wrong and how to get better. And that the best way to do that is through exams, through reviews, through doing questions. I like to use this analogy. Like if a patient comes into the clinic and says, I'm sick, you don't just give them a pill and then they're better, right? Like you have to figure out what's wrong with them. Are they diabetic? Is it a heroin overdose? Do they have a 2x4 sticking out of them?
I was doing that doctor thing all wrong then.
Yeah. I'm just giving pills. They walk in. I'm a Pez dispenser. Yeah. And so it's kind of the same thing. I really like to use exams as analytic tools. And so there's obviously going through an exam, you've developed some stamina and endurance, you have better understanding of the data analysis and how the questions go. But a big portion of that is to help you figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are. So many students go through the exams and they look at the question, you know, did I get the question right? Great. I missed the question. What was the right answer? Why was it right? What were the wrong answers? Why were they wrong? Don't get me wrong. You do have to do that. Like that is something that is really important and integral to the process. But those self-aware students that are really trying to figure out how best to improve, they don't just ask like, what was the right answer? Why was it right? What was the wrong answer? Why was it wrong? They ask, why did I choose the wrong answer? Right? Was it, and this is something you can have like three different students that all missed the same question and you know, like their scores are all identical, but what they need to do is different for every single one of them. And so if you have a student that, let's say there's a passage and it's an electrostatics passage and there's three students and they've all missed the same calculation questions. And so one of the students might just not have known the equations that they needed to use. One of the students might have known the equations, but not known which equation to use. Like, cause they have them all memorized, but like this question was asking about voltage. I got like eight equations with voltages in them. I didn't know which tool to grab from the toolbox.
Yep.
Or it could be a student that knew, like had the tools, knew which one to use, but then math errors, right? Okay. Like problems with rounding or things like that. And so all three of these students got the same scores, but what these students need to be doing is different, right? The student that doesn't know their equations, they need to know their equations, right? Mm-hmm. Get some flashcards, kind of go through, make sure you've got those things memorized, like your kinematic equations. The student that knows their equations, but doesn't know when to apply them. And I got to be honest, this is the majority of the students that I come across. Students think that if they just memorize the equation, they'll be fine.
Yep.
You want to understand when does this equation apply? When does that one apply? Because there's some weird things with like hydrostatics and hydraulics and fluid dynamics where it's like this rule set applies here. This rule set applies here. Or electrostatics and magnetism. Electrostatics is the study of stationary charges. Magnetism is the study of moving charges. So if this proton's moving, all of a sudden magnetism is in play. If it's not, then there's no magnetism.
Yep.
And so knowing when to apply what thing is important. And so that student probably needs to do just a bunch of discrete questions. Forget the passages. Like they just need to see a bunch of questions and understand, how do I answer this question? How do I answer that question? How do I answer this question? And so they'll kind of get a better idea of, you know, what these equations, which equations are good for what sorts of questions? What are the rule sets for this equation? And the last student just needs to do like a math review, right? Maybe they need to watch some videos on dealing with scientific notations and logarithms and things like that. And so all three of those students got the same score, but all three of those students, their homework is different. One needs to do flashcards, one needs to do practice questions, and one needs to watch videos on logarithms.
You forgot about the fourth student. The fourth student is a student who gets the same score, but thinks that they are perfect and it was the test writer's fault.
Oh, that happens a lot, especially in cars.
Yeah.
We talked about cars 2 weeks ago, and cars is trying to test not what you know, but what the passage said. And so students bring in what they know and they're like, but no, but this is right, right? I know this. And like, yeah, but that's not how you deal with cars.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really common thing where students kind of just aren't aware. And I would say 90% of students don't review like they should, this like really thorough asking why I missed this question. What's the lesson to be learned from this question? So whenever I'm working with a student, we're kind of going through, it takes a long time to go through an exam. Generally speaking, when a student takes an exam and then they review it, it should take longer to review the test than it takes to take the test.
Yep.
And it already takes forever to take the test.
Yeah.
And so students don't want to spend, 10, 12 hours reviewing, but you want to kind of do this big picture analysis. We talked about it before, but look at the passage and the questions as a whole and try to understand what stuff did they ask about and what stuff didn't they ask about. That way you can understand what the MCAT writers care about and what they don't care about. There's a lot of passages that, I say this often, that each passage is probably 80% fluff. There's stuff that you just don't need. And I'll read a sentence, I'm like, there's no way they're going to ask about this. Ebola is a deadly disease. More research needs to be done in this. It's ravaged parts of Africa. The MCAT's never going to ask, should we research Ebola? Is Ebola something we should study? Where is Ebola? They're not going to ask those questions. So that whole paragraph is just fluff and could be deleted, and students would do better because they'd have more time. And so recognizing that, this information is important and that information is not important is really tricky and comes from really thorough review. There are some things that students don't pay attention to just because it's not important in real life. If they say something like this protein's found in the pancreas, but not the liver, that sends off huge alarm bells in my head because this protein's probably not in a lot of organs, but they went out of their way to say it's not in the liver. And so they're setting me up for something. Right. That's going to be something that's part of a question. And a lot of students aren't going to pay much attention to that compared to Ebola is a deadly disease that ravages blah, 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 because that's exciting and it's Ebola and it's interesting. But this protein is not found in the liver. That is testable. There's going to be a question on that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the whole awareness of things and identifying those weak points. I know we've talked a ton about reviewing tests and you mentioned that reviewing a test should take longer than taking it. I know we've talked with Claire and Brian before that you should review about twice as long as you've taken it. So 1 day to take the test, 2 days to review it. And so when I hear students who are cranking through 7 exams in a week, I'm like, the whole what we talked about last week of setting those goals, you just got that dopamine hit because you're taking lots of tests, but it's not super effective.
But you're not improving.
You're not improving. Exactly. So
that happens all the time. As a student, I'm going on spring break this week. I'm going to take 5 exams. I'm like, well, you're not going to be any better at the end of the week.
your butt might be flatter because you've been sitting for hours upon hours. but you're not, your test score won't be any better. So when it comes to those students who are getting the same scores, missing the same questions, getting the same questions right, but for all different reasons, is there a way? We've talked a bunch about how study groups are great for preparing for the MCAT, for studying. Is there a way that as a study group, you take a test and you go through a test together?
Yeah, I think that is really big, especially talking through the passage, because most of the time when students review, they end up just ignoring the passage. And so when I'm working with a student and we are late into the study and they're close to their test date, most of the time what we're doing is we're looking through passages. I'm like, all right, tell me about this. What did this mean? What does this thing mean? And they may have only missed one question in this passage, but there was some stuff there they didn't understand. And that should be setting up alarm bells. And so reviewing the passages is big, especially because, just through the process, if a student does this and they go and look at the passages and say, where did the questions come from? You're going to notice that in the sciences, they come from the figures a lot. Mm-hmm. In any given random passage, let's say that there's 6 questions, I'd say 4 of them are from the figures, one of them is from the passage, and one of them is a pseudo discrete that doesn't actually need the paragraphs at all. And so I've learned whenever I'm dealing with an exam, I'm paying way more attention to the passages or to the figures, the tables, charts, data, graphs. Those things are really high yield. And that only comes, just from constant kind of reviewing and looking at what did they ask about, especially on AAMC materials. But, obviously we emulate that as well at Next Step.
Oh man, so much. I think one of the biggest things that I've seen with students and humans in general is the complete lack of wanting to accept that maybe they have some weaknesses. Do you have any suggestions for helping students either, again, being self-aware that they have these weaknesses, or helping them overcome, either accept it or maybe not be ashamed that they have these weaknesses?
Yeah, that's it. Ignorance is a shameful thing, right? But it's not, right? Everyone is ignorant of everything at some point, right? Like I've been ignorant at times.
We all have.
I often talk about this sometimes when I'm like setting up students, you know, working with them, like, here's a time when I was wrong, right? And so I'll bring this up at the very beginning and I'm like, so this is a time when I was an idiot. So now you're feel free to feel like an idiot at any point, and then we'll be equals. And that's super important. That just, but you know, I mentioned that I feel like when I am struggling, that's when I'm growing, and I'm I have a very growth mindset. And I think that that's what students need, is they need to have, you know, take pleasure in the, like, I didn't know this earlier, but now I know this, and so I am better. And so nobody likes to admit that they were wrong. It's belief perseverance, which is a psych term in the psychology sociology section. People just want to continue believing and not admitting that they were incorrect. And so be aware of that. You know, there's some idea that if you show me somebody who is never wrong, then that person never grew and never took any risks. And that's, you know, being comfortable with that is really important. I'm a mountain of ignorance at times. There's a lot of stuff that I've learned that I did not know before. And that's only possible if I didn't know it before.
All right. So there you have it. It's another great episode with Phil from Next Step Test Prep. If you need some more in-depth help with your MCAT prep, Next Step Test Prep became known in the test prep world, in the MCAT world, because of their outstanding one-on-one MCAT tutors. Now, not everyone needs a tutor, but some of you will. Some of you are struggling. I've gotten messages lately from students who have taken the MCAT multiple times and still scoring in the low 480s. Maybe that is someone who needs a tutor to really help them figure out what's going on. If that's you, contact Next Step Test Prep today. Sign up for a free consultation. Figure out how they can best help you, and let them know you heard about them here on the podcast. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the MCAT podcast.
This is MedEd Media.